All right. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Identifying the different things that happened to Jesus in his passion, as they call it, you know, when he went through everything that he went through, being beaten and bruised and being whipped and actually going to the judgment. You know, he had to go before Caesar or before Pontius Pilate and Pontius judged him. And here's another key thing that you can actually get some relief from. Sometimes people are afraid of rejection. You know, and this is one of the reasons a lot of people won't witness about Christ, because they're afraid of being rejected. But did you know that Jesus was rejected by his own people? When they put him and that criminal side by side, they said, "Who would you rather us release, Jesus or Barabbas?" And they cried for Barabbas. They didn't want him released because they loved him so much. They wanted him released because they hated the truth that Jesus brought. If you're ever curious about the Word of God, you need to understand this. The Word of God is offensive. The Word of God is offensive to your flesh. If the Word of God never burned your flesh or never burns your flesh, you didn't read the Word of God. I don't know about y'all, but when I got born again, I came out of a bad situation. And there was a lot of things that I had thought that was right that was actually wrong. And when I seen it in the Word of God, it burned my flesh. I didn't like it. But that's what the Word of God does. It offended them. So they rejected him. Don't be afraid of rejected. Jesus was already rejected in your place. Jesus took stripes on his back, and that was for our healing. This was a horrible whipping. The pictures that Hollywood puts out with the black eye and a little bit of blood dripping down his face, that's not biblically correct. When they looked on him when he was on that cross, he had no form or comeliness. You couldn't really tell he was really even a human. He was just a chunk of meat hanging on that cross. And he took all of your sins. He took all of your sicknesses. You know, he was beaten and bruised for your iniquities, your transgressions. His broken body on that cross was seen through the eyes of God as the perfect sacrifice for us. Be thankful that God doesn't look at us. He looks at the sacrifice of Jesus. When he looks at us, he sees us through a veil of the blood of Jesus. So he sees you as perfect because of the blood of Jesus. So, Father, we're taking this broken body of our Lord and Savior for our healing and our well-being. We thank you for it. That blood of Jesus, there's a false teaching running around, and it drives me nuts when people say the blood of Jesus was spilled. Or it was not spilled. If you spill something, that's an accident. That blood was shed on purpose for us. That blood not only washes away all of our sins when we get born again, but the blood of Jesus continually washes away your sins. The blood of Jesus protects you. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we can go right into God's presence as if nothing ever happened. Because in the eyes of God, and because of the blood of Jesus, nothing happened. That's been taken care of. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles up to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. If I could go back in time, I'd tell some of my teachers a couple things. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I used to get in so much trouble for daydreaming when I was in school. I wore out a lot of paddles. But see, here's something that the world and a lot of the church doesn't understand, is that God created us with this supernatural ability to daydream, and it's for our own good. There's a lot of people that do not want you to daydream. They don't want you to just take time. But you know what? You should, on purpose, every single day, take time out of your busy schedule to just sit and daydream. Now, don't just let your mind go nuts like a crazy squirrel. It will. But do you have a particular goal that you want to accomplish? See, once I got out of school and started figuring out that there's different things I wanted to accomplish, I found out that even the world teaches you to daydream. It's called visualization. And then a lot of the church will say, that's just some of that positive thinking stuff. Yeah. Yeah, now get on board. Get on board with it and get some good positive results. But see, a lot of people may pray eloquent prayers, but what they don't understand is that the thoughts of their mind are tearing up their prayers. They may pray everything right. They may follow the directions to a T, but then they let their mind just wander and think of all the bad things that could happen. You want your kid to grow up and be a good human being, and you don't want him to be on drugs. And so you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray, and then all you think about is Junior down at the bar being a drunken idiot. You don't want to be in poverty, so you pray and you tithe and you give and you do good things and you pray and you pray and you pray, and all you think about is being broke. Not having enough money at the end of the month to pay your bills. See, Joyce Myers, she wrote that book called Battlefield of the Mind. And that right there, that is where most of your battles are fought. I liked what Keith Jarrett used to say. He used to say, I survived a lot of terrible circumstances, most of which never really happened. They were just in my mind. I loved that guy. But you see the importance. See, here's the thing that you have to understand. You are a three-part being. You are a spirit. You are attached to a soul. Your soul is attached to your spirit. And you live in this body. When you get born again, it's your spirit that gets born again. The Bible tells us that we have to do something with our mind. It tells us we have to renew that thing to the Word of God. It also tells us we have to do something with our body. It means we have to keep under our flesh, as Paul said it. See, we used to run around to these rodeos and prison meetings and jail meetings wherever we go, and we'd get 30, 40, 50, or 100 people born again. We'd go back and we'd say, man, we've seen 100 souls saved. No, we didn't. We've seen 100 spirits get born again. This is important to understand. Because when you get born again, the devil is completely evicted. He has absolutely no access and no authority in your spirit. That is solely 100% owned by God. He does, however, have access to your soul. And the Bible calls them fiery darts. He sends these fiery darts. That's why it's so important for you to understand that you have this helmet of salvation. Because he's going to send these fiery darts to you all the time. The Bible calls them high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. See, you'll know in the Bible where it says, by his stripes you were healed. And that is the infallible truth. That's the truth of the Word of God. That is God's Word that says, by his stripes you were healed. And with a long life will he satisfy you and show you his salvation. Now you got that truth in your heart, and the devil sends a fiery dart to you. 2 or 3 in the morning, you wake up breathing hard, and worried. And you remember something that your third cousin twice removed said something about the African toe warts that you got. Says she knew her friend's cousin who used to drink coffee with some guy down the road had African toe warts. And he didn't make it 2 weeks. That's a fiery dart. Does it sound like a wild, far-fetched way to look at it? But that's what the devil does to you. He will use the oddest circumstances to get you off track. See, the devil understands you probably better than you do. He knows that if he can get you into a little bit of fear, just a little bit of fear, he can strike just a little bit of fear in your heart, then maybe he can get you into the realm of doubt. And the doubt will come about, you'll start thinking, man, did I do this right? Did I say this scripture right? Did I have the right address? Did I do this right? Did I do this wrong? And if he can feed that doubt, into your heart just a little bit, then maybe he can get you into the arena of unbelief. See, that's why it's so important to pay attention to what you're thinking. Because the Bible does tell us, as a man thinketh, so is he. See, people defeat themselves with their own thoughts all the time. Or they win with their thoughts. One thing a world champion bull rider told me one time, says, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're 100% right. The people that win think they can win. The people that live think they can live. The people that get healed think they can get healed. The people that lose, they don't think they can win. The people that die don't think they can live. The people that don't get healed don't think they can get healed. Now notice I didn't say anything about their prayer. I said it's the thoughts that are floating around between those two ears that get people in trouble. See, you're going to meditate on something whether you like it or not. And you're going to think about something whether you like it or not. And see, this got Job in big trouble. He said, the thing that I feared has come upon me. He ran around thinking about what his kids were doing. And he talked to himself about what his kids were doing. And then what his kids were doing did cause calamity on his life. And he lost everything. But then God restored him. And he had more than what he had before. And it was better quality. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 11. Verse 22, these verses, and it's so important to understand these. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, a lot of times things don't get translated exactly the way they're supposed to get translated, and it causes a lot of confusion. When you say have faith in God, there's a lot of people say, I've got faith in God. Why ain't I getting my prayers answered? The real translation of that literally said, have the God kind of faith. Well, now that would be an extraordinary feat if you don't understand what that means. But when you look in there and you find out what the God kind of faith really is, the God kind of faith speaks things into existence. Remember God said, let there be light? And the light was. The God kind of faith calls things that aren't as though they are. Now in the natural, things may be a wreck. But you don't go around calling them a wreck. You go around calling them what the Word of God says. This is one of the hardest things to get through people, get their attention. They'll get attacked with a sickness or a cancer or whatever may attack them, and they'll walk around, they'll go to the store, everywhere you run into them, they say, well, my cancer is really flaring up today. Well, they've taken ownership of that cancer. You know, God did not give that to them. That came from the thief. That's killing, stealing, and destroying. The God kind of faith will say, you know, this attack has been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. I will not have this on my body. I am healed. The Bible tells me that I am healed by His stripes. Do you see the different frames of mind? the same circumstances, but there's different frames of mind. Now, look at verse 23. It says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mount, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Important first step is to visualize your results before you pray. There's a lot of praying going on. There's a lot of people getting prayed for. But how many people take time to just stop and visualize the results? What would it be like if you weren't sick and you were strong enough to go do what you wanted to do? What would it be like if you had enough money in your pocket to go help somebody, go do something for somebody, or go enjoy a nice vacation? Have you visualized that? What would it be like? What would it look like to be financially free? This is where daydreaming comes in. You get a problem, don't sit there and dream about how bad your problem is. Find the answer in the Bible and then daydream what it would be like to have the answer happen in your life. Visualize what it would be like to be healed and whole. What would you do? Where would you go? Get thorough in your daydream. You know, one thing about reading in the Gospels, you should spend some time daydreaming. When you're reading these Gospels, visualize what it was like for this woman with the issue of blood. Visualize her coming out of her protected home and running down there to get to Jesus. But she had to run through all those men. And she knew there were some very important men down there around Jesus. And she knew that if she got caught having contact with those men, that she could be stoned. Now, here's the thing about being stoned is it was illegal to use a big rock that would take you out fast. But it was illegal to use too small of a rock because it had to inflict pain and bodily damage. This was a cruel punishment. It had to be just the right size stone, one that wouldn't kill you fast, but one that would dang sure hurt you. Now, visualize this woman. She spent all she had. And she had a dream in her heart that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she'd be healed. But she had to go through all that. See, if we'll take some time visualizing our results before we pray, it'll add more power to our prayers and you'll get better results. See, now you won't be just throwing a dart. You'll be praying specifically. You'll have a goal in mind. Now notice this and get a hold of this. You get not what you pray for. But a lot of people saying that. That's not true. You get what you believe you receive. See, if we got what we prayed for, I mean, this place would be a circus. Everybody be running around in Cadillacs and limousines, have an oil well in their backyard, have a pet camel, whatever else it was that would just they just thought they needed to have. But that's not the case, is it? Everybody's kids would be born again. No. You get what you believe that you receive. So you're going to get that dream in your heart, and you're going to have a promise from the Word of God that shows you where it's at. And you're going to have to meditate on that promise. You're going to have to say that promise over and over and over so you can get it in your heart. But visualize your dream. Visualize your answer so that you can see yourself receiving it. See yourself having what it is you need. And then pray. I want you to show you a couple important things about visualization. Look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Now, we're going to see two different groups of people that had the same promise from God. They had the same covenant with God. But we have two different groups of people. Verse 30 starts off, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now, look at verse 33. "There we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." There's two different groups of people looking at the same exact problem. They had the same promise from God. They had the same covenant. Exactly the same. But it's the way you see each situation that is going to determine your outcome. What do you see? Right here? Just kind of a white. Just a white bookmark, huh? On my side, it's a colorful bookmark. It's beautiful. It's got a beautiful picture. It's some beautiful people on it. Got some nice writing. It's really cool and it's dark. But we're looking at the same bookmark, aren't we? See how the way we see things is going to determine how things operate in our lives. We can look at the same challenge. We have the same promises from God. We have the same covenant, the same Lord and Savior. But the way we see these challenges, the way we see each problem, the way we look at things, and what we believe in our heart is going to be completely different a lot of times. I run into Christians a lot of times that just say they cannot win whatever challenge they're facing. And I say they can. But they won't believe it. Because somebody told them it's an insurmountable challenge. You know, doctors will tell people that there's nobody lives through this. I'm telling you, as long as you have the ability to take a breath You have the ability to say God's word, which means you have the ability to win. Some people will say, well, it's just too late. I should have started several years ago. I'm going to tell you something about God. He's never late. You know, Jesus came to Lazarus' tomb. See, Lazarus was Jesus' friend. But before that, some friends of his came down and told Jesus, said, Lazarus is really sick. He needs to get up here and take care of this. And Jesus kept walking, doing his business and going about his day. And then Lazarus passed away. And he was in the tomb for 4 days. For 4 days before Jesus got there. And his sister come out there and said, if you just showed up here, it would have been all right. Jesus said, don't you know I'm the resurrection and the life? Now, have you ever wondered why they made it a point to put 4 days in there? Because in the Jewish tradition, see, Jesus was meddling with their religious tradition. But the Jewish tradition said that when a man died and he got in the tomb, that his spirit just kind of wandered around for 3 days. Once corruption set in, the spirit would leave. Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. That means corruption set in. That means, according to their tradition, his spirit was supposed to be gone. He just blew their tradition out of the completely out of the water. And you know, one time Jesus told the Jews, he said, you know, the traditions of your forefathers made the word of God in effect. You know, the traditions of the church have made the word of God in effect in a lot of places. What would be a tradition of our forefathers? You will not preach salvation in this church. That's a tradition of somebody from a conference somewhere. You will not preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a tradition of men. You will not preach speaking in tongues. That's a tradition of man. They didn't get that idea from God. So you see how sometimes people water down the Word of God and make it more comfortable for the congregation, so that it doesn't make them uncomfortable and they boogie on out the door. Unfortunately, people will change the Word of God or just not preach the Word of God in order to keep people comfortable enough to keep them in there. There's preachers all over the country that have big flocks and they're leading them right straight to the pit of hell because they're not preaching the truth. Now, I've even heard preachers proclaim that they're not real sure that Jesus really was the Son of God. You didn't get that idea from the Bible. You certainly didn't get that idea from God. But you see how these two different groups of people seeing themselves differently? Caleb, he was ready. He was on fire. And he stayed on fire. And actually, he was one of the only ones that got to go back into the promised land after their 40 years in Exodus. And he's 80 years old, and he said, I'm ready to take that mountain. God said, it's mine. I'm ready to go. How about that? That's a different spirit. But they had the same word of God. They had the same promise. They had the same covenant. They looked at the... You know, they seen the same giants. You know, the 10 spies, they didn't see different giants than what Caleb saw. They seen the same giants. But Caleb looked at it through a different set of eyes. It's important. How you see yourself has huge implications on how you will be. That's why Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You think you can win? You can win. You don't think you can win? You're not going to win. You have to get your heart lined up with the Word of God and think along these lines. Daydream about your results. You know, you're going to daydream about something. I don't care what you do. You're going to daydream about something. You're going to think about something. You just will daydream about positive results. Daydream about how you want your life to be. Daydream about how you want your kids to be. Daydream about how you want your finances to be. Daydream about how you want your health to be. Think about what you're thinking about. Matthew chapter 8. We'll stop with this one, but verse 13. Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. You know what? The centurion believed that he received his even before he thought in the natural. You know, the cool thing about the centurion is he's one of the two people that Jesus said, man, you have great faith. You want to know something about that centurion? He wasn't concerned about the law. He didn't know the law. He hadn't come in contact with the law of God. The only thing he seen was the grace of God. He knew he wasn't good enough. You know, he told Jesus, said, I'm not worthy that you should even come into my house, but I'm a man of authority. And if I say to this servant, go, he goes. If I say to this one, come, he comes. Whatever I say happens. And I see that same authority in you. All you got to do is just say your word and it'll happen. And he received his miracle. And he believed it. You know something? That man didn't waste any time trying to make himself right before God. He didn't waste any time trying to get his life together before he went to Jesus. He didn't waste any time trying to clean up his messes before he went to Jesus. He didn't waste any time trying to make himself look more religious than what he really was. All he did was just, he went to Jesus. That's that's all God tells us to do. Go to Jesus. He tells us to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. There's a lot of pressure put on people to have great faith.
You have to know the devil.
Yeah. Yeah. Be wise to the devil's ways and give no place to him. But if we will look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, you know, our faith is really his faith. I mean, we got it from him. Did you know that? We're not operating in something special that he didn't give us. He gave us the faith to be saved. But just like these people in the Bible, when they looked to Jesus and looked and called upon his mercy and called upon his grace, he seen faith in their heart and things changed for them. But these guys spent some time thinking about their results. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to run down there and touch Jesus' garment. You know, she heard about people touching Jesus and being healed. The Bible doesn't tell us how long she spent thinking about this, but she obviously spent some time thinking about this. First, she heard about it, and then she spent some time meditating on it. Now, I imagine she had to have some pretty serious conversations with herself. Because she knew the law. But when she seen Jesus, she threw everything to the side and ran to Jesus, who was the author and finisher of her faith, and she received her miracle. What a great God we have. A great, loving Heavenly Father. He makes it easy for us. We make it hard. Religion makes it hard. Tradition makes it hard. Jesus makes it easy. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you for the love and compassion and mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you that you have freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. Father, we ask you to teach us how to daydream your results. Show us how to use our imagination combined with the power of meditation to receive the results that our Lord and Savior paid for us to have. Father, we ask that you show us by the power of the Holy Spirit, show us how to do this. Teach us to dream dreams. The Bible says that you cause us to dream dreams. That you cause us to see visions. Father, show us how to properly use the power of our mind mixed with the Word of God through meditation to receive the results that we need to have. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.